I have Nick Hershaw on a line from London. Welcome, Nick.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. Well, mainly I've called you up to talk to you about Party in the Park, but also we should be talking about your career. This 80s, why do you think people are still so fond of all this 80s music?
You know, I really wish I knew. I get asked all the time. It's a big surprise to me because I didn't make any music for about 10 years during the 90s, and then I made another album at the end of about 1998, I think it was, and I released that album. And at that time, I was accused of jumping on the 80s revival bandwagon. That's the end of the 90s, and it's still going. So I really don't get it, but I kind of am very grateful for it.
Your career started way back in the start of the 80s. Your first single was I Won't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. Especially about this one was that it made the charts in many countries in Europe. Denmark went to number one, but didn't in England, in the UK. That was first the second single, Wouldn't It Be Good. Were you sort of dubious about whether this your career would take off or not when it didn't sell the first single?
Not really. It's a different time then. I mean, yeah. Record companies built careers, so it's nobody was that disappointed when it didn't hit the first time in the September of 1983. I think it just got my name around in the business, and I went and you know got my name to the radio stations, got my name into the sort of the dealerships that sold the records and all that kind of thing. And in that respect, it was kind of a minor radio hit, and everybody thought that was a pretty good start.
Yeah.
And it just sort of laid the ground for Wouldn't It Be Good when it came out in 1984. And then, of course, it was re-released and was a big hit in the summer of 84. But no, we're not, you know, I'm surrounded by people that are completely convinced it's going to happen. So there was never any problem.
And then it took off. I mean, as you say, it was reissued and went to the top of the British charts. Do you remember that time you were... Practically, I saw here in Denmark, we saw some of those MTV, and you were everywhere. Was it a crazy time that time?
It was totally crazy. I mean, a lot of it's a bit of a blur. I'm only sure I was there because I can watch it on YouTube now. Yep, that was definitely me. No, it was like, it's an old cliche, but it's exactly what it was like. It was like kind of riding a train that nobody, you know, you just couldn't get off, and nobody was driving. It was just kind of completely out of control. It had a momentum of its own, and you just had to go along with it.
I mean, you wrote all your songs yourself. I don't know whether people know that, but you wrote the hit singles, I Won't Let, and so forth. At the end of the 80s, you decided not to record anymore. I mean, you said, no, I want to write for other people. How was that?
Let's be honest about this. I was kind of pushed, and I kind of jumped as well. I'd done my four albums for MCA Records, and then they chose not to renew the contract, so I kind of thought, okay, what am I going to do? I could go looking for another deal, or I could just... try something else. And I just thought, well, I'm going to try something else. I was sort of pretty exhausted from the previous 7 or 8 years, and you know, just fed up with the whole recording touring cycle, plus the fact I was, you know, just starting a young family and I wanted to be around for them. So I just sort of thought, yeah, I'll just try my hand at writing for other people,
because you're out of the limelight. But even so, I mean, you produced a major hit for Chesney Hawkes, so
that was pretty much the first song that I wrote. So I was given a false sense of how easy it was going to be. I mean, I kind of wrote the one and only and just stuck it on a shelf for a couple of years, and then somebody walked. I think Chesney's dad walked into Warner Chappell Music and said, "We're looking for a song for a movie Ches is doing with Roger Daltrey, what have you got?" And they played him that, and we recorded it at Abbey Road. And then 2 years later, I'm sitting in an armchair drinking wine and watching it fly up the charts, which is all very strange. So I thought, well, this is easy. but of course it wasn't really. It was just kind of then the hard work started. Then you realise that it actually isn't that easy to write songs for other people.
But I think you're modest, because Elton John has said about you that your writing skills, that you're one of the best songwriters of a generation. I mean,
yeah, he did say that. Yeah, yeah. I think he was on a lot of drugs at the time, so maybe that was why. But you can't take it back, no. So I kind of use that quote mercilessly.
In 1919, you started recording your own songs again, and up until now, you've been very active. What sort of music are you recording these days?
Every time I make an album, I'm more kind of think, "Oh, what am I going to do now?" Because you don't want to repeat yourself, which is why the albums are quite far apart. And at the moment, I'm kind of doing bits and pieces of music for TV and film, and I'm thinking maybe I could do both at the same time. I could make an album that's kind of filmic in quality and just has a different kind of vibe about it. The lovely thing from my point of view is I mean the last album we kind of promoted conventionally, and it was like, you know, release a single and do all that kind of stuff. Yeah. This is like 2012. And this time I just don't want to do that. I kind of think, well, I can do anything I want. I don't have to make pop music. I could do any kind of music. I could just kind of do whatever I feel and make a very honest album and see how it comes out. And that's kind of what I'm in the process of doing now.
You must tell me about this project. Gary Barlow has put together you and the other people. It's called Fly. Tell me something about that. That's one of the brand new thing you're involved in.
It is. Well, again, that's just being lucky enough to be on the end of a telephone call. I don't know how familiar you are with this character, but in England, this guy is kind of a hero. This is a guy called Eddie the Eagle.
Everyone knows Eddie.
Everyone knows Eddie the Eagle. There you go. So it is actually an international film. I just thought it was a little British film, but it's receiving international attention because it's such a character and such a great story about Eddie the Eagle. And Gary Barlow was the music supervisor for the whole project, and it's all based in the 80s. So he figured, well, maybe I'll. Sorry about the dog.
he likes it as well, yeah.
Yeah, so he thought, well, you know, rather than get the 80s, you know, just pick a load of 80s songs and stick them on the album, I'll track down the 80s artists and get them to record something new. Now, unfortunately, I was just about to disappear on tour, so I didn't have any time to write anything new, but I had a song on my last album called The Sky's the Limit that I played him. And he loved it, and then we kind of remixed it to make it sound more 80s. And there it is. And obviously, I'm in good company. I'm with Tony Hadley and Go West and OMD and Holly Johnson and Andy
Bell. All the old guys.
And we sat around, had a photo session a couple of weeks ago, and chewed the fat together. That was quite good fun.
Returning to this party in the park, you'll be coming here to Denmark on June the 11th, playing all your old songs.
Yeah.
And it'll be with a full orchestra. There won't be any playback or so.
With a full band, yeah. No, I don't do playback. This is on TV, and that's the kind of thing they do. But no, I'm gonna. Yeah, I'll bring my band to play a full set, and obviously you'll hear the old songs because that's why people come, and I kind of respect that. And I don't mind playing them anyway. Those songs have been very good to me. And maybe some of you're not as familiar with, but we'll see. I haven't figured out exactly what I'm going to play yet, because the festival season hasn't started. We always have a big old rehearsal at the beginning of festival season just to sort of tidy things up and maybe put a couple of new songs in or whatever. So, yeah, it's going to be a surprise for me.
Mm. We're looking forward to it, anyway, Nick.
I am very much. Yeah, I do love playing live, and I love Denmark. Denmark's been very good to me, and Aarhus especially. I remember doing sort of early,
really,
early sort of end of '98 when I started making records again, and into 2000. I remember playing a club in Aarhus called The Train. And that was always a great gig. So I'm sort of fond memories of Aarhus, and looking forward to coming back.
Yeah. We're looking forward to seeing you. Okay, Nick?
Excellent. Yeah.